Good morning. I'm so glad that you came to worship with us at Noble Assembly of God this morning. Let's stand.
Amen. Let's give a hand clap. Amen. 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 How many have ever been facing an impossible situation? Come on. Come on. And yet, in the midst of impossible situations, there's comfort in the fact that we serve a God of the possible. Everything is possible with Him. It doesn't matter what man says, and we've had people tell us before, no, that's not possible. There's no way that's going to happen. And we've seen God move. There's been times where we needed healing and we've seen God move. There's times when we've needed, seen people need deliverance and we've seen God move. There's times when right now in our nation we need God to move and we're believing and knowing that God's going to move. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we pray right now that you would move today in this place. Lord, not just in our midst, but in our hearts today. Would you move in and through us? Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that we remember that you're the God of the possible. Everything is possible with you. And so, Lord, we pray for those who need healing today. We pray for those who need deliverance today. We pray for those who need an answer to a deep and worrisome issue or prayer today. Lord, we pray right now for all that is going to happen in this place. And we ask, Lord, right now that you would just be here with us. Lord, would you surround us with your presence as we lift up your name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Turn and greet someone this morning. Tell them, hey, you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord.
As massive as that?
Great. Those cliffs are huge. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Well, we're here. Looks like everyone else just got here too.
It's time to look up. There's more to life than what's on your screen.
Go off-road on the adventure of a lifetime and experience the greatness of God's love. Explore colorful canyons of the Southwest from a rock-solid faith and discover that God is monumental.
I'm Phyllis Alley, for those who don't know me, and I will be directing the VBS. And we are so excited this year about having VBS again. It's been 2 years at least, and we are just hoping and praying right now, already preparing our hearts, that this will be the greatest VBS we've had in a while. We want to reach out to all of our community, all of our kids, and so I'm asking today that you start praying, seeking the Lord on behalf of all of our community and the kids that we're going to witness to, and hopefully witness to them and then to their parents also. So there are a couple of things that I'm going to need for VBS. If you can, and you drink 8-ounce bottles of water, I need those empty containers with the lids. We need those for crafts. Also, Miss Ann said, we need paper towel, empty paper towel rolls, or toilet paper rolls, clean, no paper on them, because she doesn't want to take the time to pull all that off. And I don't either. So if you'll start saving those for us, we'd appreciate it. Later on, we will have a sign up to bring maybe breakfast for the staff. VBS will be from 9 o'clock to 11:40. I've had to add 10 minutes on, but we'll get her done. And if you want to sign up, I know my sign-up sheet out there looks full. Put your name on there. Put your number on there. We will be more than happy to have all we can get to help, and we'll make it a great time. Thank you.
VBS. You know what I remember about VBS is they did little medals one year, Pastor, and they did a competition. I got second place in the softball throw. Come on now. And thank you. Last medal I won, that's okay. Awesome. We're going to have a great time at VBS. Speaking of a great time, if you're a visitor here this morning, we want to say welcome. Thanks for being here today. And if you'll grab the card in the seat back in front of you, fill that out, and then place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit. That'll give us a record of your attendance. It helps us to know you came to visit, and we would really appreciate that. So once again, welcome for being here, and thanks for being here. Got a few announcements for you. The youth and the youth missions team will already be headed down to Mission Arlington. But for those of you that aren't going on the missions trip with us, we have the Singspiration and dinner on the grounds. And so you can read that there. We're going to have fried chicken. And so we're asking people to bring sides with that. And then they're going to break out the hymnals and sing together and have a great time here. And so that starts at 6 o'clock. Is that correct? 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. I said 6 last week, too. I'm just throwing people off, Pastor. 5 o'clock. So be here at 5 o'clock, and you guys are going to have a meal and a good time of worship. And we welcome all of you to come and be a part of that. And then the next two Sundays is our missions convention. I'm super excited for all the missionaries that we have coming in, Ferry Ryder and Jimmy and Priscilla Abrams, who are missionaries to Africa. But this next Sunday morning, Pastor Brian Cedarwall, who is the pastor of the Denver Dream Center, where we have gone the last 2 years in the summer and where we're going this year on our youth missions trip, will be here sharing. And they have a brand new facility they're going to talk to us. So he's going to tell you about and all the things that are happening there. And so we're excited to celebrate with him. And also, we've got a couple of Connect Group experiences coming up. Next week, Sunday evening is our soup and chili cook-off. Is that right? Next Sunday? No, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now is the soup and chili cook-off, and dates are starting to mix together. And so if you want to be a part of that, if you'll sign up at the back, and then you can also start signing up for our OKC Dodger baseball night. And some of you have already started doing that. And it's $15, and that'll include your ticket, a baseball cap, and all you can eat hamburgers and hot dogs and drinks and things like that. And so you could turn your money in for that to me or to Pastor. Also, we have nursing home ministry and the lawn ministry. So there's lots of things. If you look at our sign-up table out there, Miss Joyce said, no more sign-ups. That's it. I can't put another one out there. And so there should be something on there for everyone and probably multiple things for everyone. So go check that out before you leave today, and I think you'll find something that will interest you. We'll ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. As they come, want to just remind you that we have our Mission Arlington trip this week. And so out on the sign up is also a place where you can sign up to fast one of our meals during the time that we're gone. Fast and pray for us. And we've still got some spots open. So if you would go and put your name down, say, hey, I'll fast on Tuesday at lunch or Wednesday at dinner, that would be awesome. That way we know that somebody, we're going to make a copy of that and take it with us so I know who's praying for us at all times. And, of course, how many of you, just by the show of hands, would commit to praying for our missions team this week? Amen? Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Lord, we thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in and through us. We thank you for VBS and missions trips and camps and our connect groups and all the things that bring God's people together and bring others into the kingdom. And Lord, we ask that you multiply all that's given. In Jesus' name, amen.
So you have opportunity to give. Let's stand up and worship again. Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive.
Fear cannot survive when we praise you, the God.
You're so worthy. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise your name. Where Christ suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Then from north to south and east, hear Christ be magnified. Jesus, we magnify your name, Jesus. Where the whole earth echoing his imminence, his name would burst from sea and sky, from rivers to the mountains.
Thank you.
lift up our voices to you this morning, Jesus. God, you are worthy of our praises, God. You are glorious, Jesus. God, you're our creator, Lord Jesus. You're our comforter, Lord Jesus. God, you are faithful to the end, Lord Jesus, and we praise your name, God. In any circumstance that we face, Jesus, we can trust in your name, Jesus. God, we can lean on you, Jesus, for understanding, God. We can look to you for peace, Jesus. God, you're the builder of our faith, Lord Jesus. And you're so glorious, God. We worship your name, Jesus. We praise your name, God. We magnify you, Jesus. You are so holy, God. You are so righteous, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Captivator of the searching heart. This Jesus, how precious. Jesus, relentless, and oh, this Jesus, this Jesus.
You, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. This morning we want to pray for the Gerken family. As Sister Gerken, Sister Jessie Gerken, entered into her heavenly reward yesterday at 1:50 in the afternoon, and so we know that she's rejoicing in heaven right now, reunited with her husband, Reverend James Gerken, and her son, who passed away a few years ago, and a lot of other great and wonderful people who have passed on before us. And so we rejoice with her, 91 years old, and I know she's heard the Lord say, well done, Sister Jessie. So let's lift up the Gerken family as well. Donna is recovering from her surgery that she had on Friday for cancer. We want to pray for a good report for her. And so let's lift up Donna to the Lord this morning. Dale Davis still needs our prayers. He's in the rehab hospital in Oklahoma City, still having problems moving and talking as he needs the Lord to touch and heal him. Lily Freeman broke her arm, and so we want to pray for her that that would heal and be okay. Mahala Keller's dad, Jim, has cancer, and we want to pray for him this morning. Pray for our youth missions team that lead this afternoon, that they'll have a great and safe and successful week. And then let's continue to lift up the situation in Ukraine. So, amen. God is able, amen. Let's join together and pray over these needs this morning. Father in heaven, we come to you and we thank you that as we pray together as a church body, Lord, we know that great things happen when people stand together in prayer in behalf of needs. Today, Lord, we lift up the Gerken family. We thank you, Lord, that Sister Gerken has won the prize, finished her race, and today is enjoying all that you have prepared for her. But I pray for her family that's left behind. I pray for Brother Gerken. I pray for his sister and other family members. I pray that you would just comfort them, and I pray that you would be with her during her service that we will have this week. Father, we pray that you would be with Donna as she recovers from surgery. We just pray for a good report as biopsies were sent off, Lord. We just pray that the cancer is all contained and that they were able to remove all of that and no future problems with her health, Lord. Just touch her, we pray. God, be with Dale. I pray that you continue to touch him, Lord. Thank you for the slow progress that we're seeing, but I pray that you continue to just heal his body from this stroke, from this aneurysm. Lord, be with Lily as she recovers, Father God, from this fall. I pray that you would just heal her arm, let it heal back properly and without any problems. We pray for Jim today, Mahala's dad. We just pray that you would touch him and minister to him right now. God, just bring healing to his body. Father, we pray for our team that travels today to Texas. I pray that you just keep your hand upon them. I pray that they would have a safe and a good week of ministry. And Father, we pray for the situation in Ukraine. We just pray that you would just bring help and healing, that you would end this invasion, Lord, and that you would just bring complete and total peace to this situation, God. Help our leaders to have wisdom and act courageously and godly and morally in everything that they decide. Father God, we just call upon you today in behalf of our beloved nation. Lord, just meet every need today. Other needs here in this place and those watching online, I pray that you would touch those who are not feeling well. I thank you, Father God, that we can call upon you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Looking forward to a good time tonight with our dinner and then singing some of the old hymns. And Brother Tennyson, Brother Charles Tennyson. Charles, wave your hand. Charles is going to share a short devotion with us tonight. We're looking forward to that. And we just appreciate Charles and Zelma Tennyson being a part of our church family. So everybody come out 5 o'clock tonight. We'll have a good time having some fried chicken. Anybody like fried chicken? Anyway, as long as it's got mashed potatoes with it, we're good, right? Amen. Mashed potatoes is a necessary ingredient to fried chicken. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Title of the message this morning is How's Your Oil Supply? Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." Father, we ask you today to help us with this message this morning. I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to what you would have to say to us. Speak to us, Lord, about our own spiritual condition. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of talk about oil in recent days, whether we should keep importing oil or use the oil we have here at home. There's a lot of talk about the cost of gasoline. I can hear you thinking about that now as you filled up your car yesterday thinking, my goodness. There's a lot of talk about that kind of stuff and gas prices and so on. There's a lot of talk going on about war. The invasion of Ukraine, the threat of a nuclear attack. Is this the beginning of World War III? A lot of that going on. We live in some very difficult days. But all these things are signs of the last days and the coming of the Lord. Jesus spoke about these things 2,000 years ago. He told us some of the things to look for. In the previous chapter, he's talking with his disciples. I didn't read Matthew 24, but his disciples had sat down with him and he's saying, when's going to be your coming? When is all this going to happen? And he gives them a lot of signs and things to look for. In Matthew 24:3, what sign will signal your return and the end of the world? And he begins to tell them all about these things that would take place. And after a long description there in Matthew 24, he then tells them the parable that I just read to you in Matthew 25 that I want us to look at a little closer today. I believe it is very crucial in this day and hour. The signs of the times are becoming more and more prevalent that the coming of the Lord is near. Like I've told you before, it's like if you go to a city in another state, the closer you get to that city, the more signs you see that you are so far away from where you're going. It gets closer and closer and you start seeing more signs. And that's the way it is right now with the coming of the Lord. We are seeing more and more signs that Christ is coming and we need to be ready. Today I want us to look at 3 points to this parable, and I'll tell you what they are up front. Number one, we're going to look at the setting of a Jewish wedding. Number two, we're going to look at the similarities and the differences in the bridesmaids. And then number three, we're going to look at the serious points of this parable. So first of all, number one, the setting of a Jewish wedding. Now, Jesus taught in parables and in order to share spiritual truth. A parable is simply an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. It's telling an illustration, if you will. Jesus would use things common to the people in that day to illustrate a spiritual truth. One of those things that they were very familiar with was a Jewish wedding. Jewish weddings in the first century often took place at the end of the harvest time. So at the end of the harvest was when they would normally have a lot of Jewish weddings. It was often a large group of people that attended. They had lots of food and music and dancing, and the guests at the wedding always wore special clothing. They had to wear special clothing. The bride and her close friends would wait at the family home until the groom came and got her and took her to the place that he had prepared for her for many days, months, or maybe years. It's interesting to note that no one but the groom's father knew when the groom was going to come. The groom didn't even know when he was going to come and go get his bride at her house and take her to be to the place where he's prepared, take her to live there and be there. Only the father of the groom was the one who knew when he would tell his son to go get his bride. I think you can see a lot of the similarities and parallels of Scripture to the Jewish wedding. So the groom would suddenly arrive at the bride's house and he would get his bride, and then there would be a procession through the streets of the town all the way to the marriage feast. Usually this wedding took place at night, and so the bridesmaids would have oil lamps that they would carry to light the path and go through the city streets on their way to where the wedding was going to take place. And it was very customary in those days for the groom to delay his arrival. And you never knew how long it would take. Once you knew that the groom was going to come and get his bride, you didn't know how long it was going to be. And so the bridesmaids, they had to come prepared. They had to have their lamp. It was a clay pot made out of clay, obviously, and it had a place there for you put the oil in and the wick. And And they had to have extra oil. It was customary that the groom would delay his coming. And so it wasn't an extra special time that or an unusual thing that groom was late or the groom was delayed. It was customary. It was part of their wedding ritual that the groom be delayed and wait a while and take his time to go and get his bride. And so it was very customary for these bridesmaids to bring their lamps and to bring extra oil. That was the custom. They knew to do that. They would do this to begin the marriage celebration. And so the disciples, they were very familiar with this. They had been to weddings before and they knew what the custom was. And so when Jesus began talking about this parable, they were all familiar with the customs and what Jesus was talking about. Secondly, let's look at the similarities and the differences between these 10 bridesmaids. First of all, the similarities. All of the bridesmaids were friends of the bride. All of the bridesmaids had a lamp with some oil in it and probably full. They probably came with their lamp full of oil. All of the bridesmaids were there to meet the bridegroom. They were all excited about meeting the bridegroom. It's interesting, they all became drowsy and fell asleep because of the delay. The foolish and the wise went to sleep, and were asleep when he came. The differences, the five wise had come prepared with extra oil in case the bridegroom was late, and it was customary that he would be. And so they knew that they needed to bring the extra oil along with their lamp. The five foolish did not. They assumed that what they had was enough. So they didn't bring any extra oil, even though the custom was they knew that he would probably be delayed. The five wise were ready, even though they had fallen asleep. And when the cry rang out, "The bridegroom is here," they trimmed their lamps, they added their extra oil, and they got to go through the streets with the bride and the groom all the way to the marriage celebration. The five foolish did not. They went off trying to get more oil, for their lamps had gone out or was going out, and so they were out trying to find more oil. And so they did not get to go through the streets. The five wise got into the feast, got into the marriage supper, and the door behind them was locked. The five foolish got there later after trying to find oil and finally getting some oil, I guess. But when they got there, the door was shut and locked. And then they heard the most solemn words ever, "I don't know you." Number three, let's look at the serious points of this parable. Now, first of all, let me give you the main point. The main point of this parable, Jesus says it himself in the last verse. He says in verse 13, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." The church is the bride of Christ. We are awaiting the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. We do not know when he's going to come. And so Jesus is telling the disciples and telling us and all who are a part of his body that they need to be prepared and they need to be watching. So the main point is preparedness and watchfulness. As I said before, Jesus doesn't even know when he, the bridegroom is coming back for his bride. Only the Father knows. Just as in the Jewish wedding custom, only the Father in heaven knows when Jesus is going to come. Matthew 24:36 says that very plainly. Now, this can't be talking about the second coming of the Lord. You have to remember in theology, there's two parts to the coming. There's the rapture of the church. That is an unexpected time, which Jesus is warning about here. And then there's the second coming that happens at the end of the tribulation, that ends the tribulation, that ends the battle of Armageddon, and then begins the thousand-year millennium, millennial reign with Christ. So you know when that's going to happen, when that war is happening, there's no surprise of when Jesus is going to come. And so Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation. Everybody knows when that's going to be. But what he's talking about here is what is called the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the bride, when he will come back, when the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, something we don't know when that's going to happen. One day, as we said, and only the Father knows, he will lean over to his right from the throne in heaven and say, "Son, go get your bride." And Jesus will go and get that bride, what is called the rapture of the church. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but like the wise bridesmaids, we must be ready. Because we don't know when that will be. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't happened yet. I remember when I was just in high school and starting college, I thought, and thinking about the future years, I thought, well, 2020 something, the rapture will happen by then. How many of you thought that? How many of you thought, like, many years ago that we won't see the year 2020 on this earth, yet here we are? But you know what? That just makes it that much closer, that much closer. And do you know why? This isn't even in my notes, but do you know why the Lord has held off his coming? Because he loves people. Because there's a whole lot of people that had the Lord come in 1980 wouldn't have been ready. They weren't saved. I've known people in the last 40 years that have given their heart to the Lord and got prepared. That's why Jesus has held off his coming. But as the Bible says, he won't hold off forever. There will come a day, just as Jesus came the first time as a baby in a manger and was prophesied. There have been many, 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 even more prophecies that said he's going to come back again a second time. And that day is yet to happen. So we must be ready. We must have oil in our lamps burning brightly for the Lord. The second thing about a point about this is each bridesmaid had to make their own preparations for the arrival of the groom. They could not help the other one out. You know, they asked for, "Well, loan us some of your oil." And they said, "We can't do that, because if we give you what we had, we won't have enough." And so the same is true with us. Each one of us have to make our own preparations for the coming of the Lord. I can't get my kids ready, or my grandkids ready, or my brothers or sisters or friends ready for them. You have to be ready for yourself. And so all of these bridesmaids, like I said, knew the custom, and that it was customary for the groom to delay his coming to get the bride. They all knew they needed to be prepared with extra oil. And they all looked prepared and ready before the call rang out. The bridegroom was coming. They all looked alike. They all had their lamps. They were all ready. They were all anticipating the bridegroom coming. And so at that point, they all looked the part. The difference between them was not external, it was internal. When the Lord comes back, the difference between the serious believers and the surface believers will show up. Let me say that again. When the Lord comes back, the difference between the serious believers and the surface believers will show up. I guarantee you, when the Lord comes back, there will be people that will not go in their rapture. And if it happens on a Sunday morning during the morning service, there will be people sitting in churches that thought they were ready. We must be sure to not only profess Christ, we must possess Christ. We must be sure that we have the oil of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We can't just look the part. The bridesmaids professed by the outward they were ready, but in reality they were not. Why? Because they didn't possess enough oil. Oil, that's the critical difference. What's the difference between these bridesmaids? It was oil. The ones had extra and the others didn't. The ones were prepared and the others weren't. Now, oil consistently in the Bible symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The foolish bridesmaids were more surface and were attempting to discover how little they could have to suffice for their safety. Well, I think this much will do. It kind of goes back to the difference, and I said this not long ago. On the early days, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, when they got done, the people shouted out, "What must we do to be saved?" Remember that? And what you hear and see a lot of times today is, "What can I do and still be saved? What can I get by with? How little can I do and still be saved?" You see, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. It's what's in the heart. You can't see the heart. Y'all can see me here in my new shirt Carol got me, which I've had a lot of compliments on, and I happen to like it. I didn't even want to cover it up with a sweater nor a jacket today. Don't I look so pretty? I may look pretty with a pretty new shirt on the outside, but you don't see my heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at where? The heart. The Lord knows those who are His. Who are His. We don't always know because we only see the surface. But when the crisis comes, when the day of the rapture happens, it's going to be evident whose heart was right and whose heart was not. It's going to be evident whose heart was really and truly in this thing called being a Christian and a child of God, and those who just went because it's going to look good for me and being in church. We can't play games. We have to know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, and we are doing our best to serve Him with all that's within us. He said the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's a heart thing. And you got to be careful symbolizing this parable too much. It really, that is not the intent. The intent of this was exactly what Jesus said, that we know to keep watch, for we don't know when He's returning. We got to be prepared. Not to get in, well, the wise ones fell asleep and so did the foolish. They were human, but they were prepared with the oil. And like I said, the oil represents the Lord, represents the Holy Spirit. The day of the Lord's coming will arrive, and our heart will determine our destiny, not how we looked on the outside. Church, we must continually be seeking more and more of the Lord. More and more of the oil. Do we have a seeker's heart? Or do we have a satisfied heart? You see, we'll never arrive. You're never, ever at a point where you have arrived spiritually and think, I have arrived. There is nothing more that I can do to get closer to God. If you ever think that, you're in further hot water than you think. You never arrive, but you continually have a heart that's seeking after God and wanting more, and knowing you're short, knowing you're coming up short, but you still want Him and you desire Him and you're seeking Him and you're not satisfied with what you have. That's the right heart. We must want more of God's Spirit and presence in our lives, more of the Lord. And when we do this, and when we seek after the Lord, the store of the oil is increased in our life. The Bible says the more we seek Him, the more we will find Him. The more we want Him, the more we desire Him, the more oil we will receive, the more of His presence and Spirit will be a part of our lives. 1 Peter chapter 5, or excuse me, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 clearly point out this. Did I say 1 Peter? It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. There you have the two, the wise and the foolish, in those verses right there. Verse 10, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. You'll keep your oil supply. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The door will be opened and you will get a grand entrance to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Another thing about this parable is the five foolish went to get more oil, but the bridegroom came and they missed the joyful and glorious trip to the marriage supper. They missed out because their heart wasn't right and they weren't prepared. That's why they missed. Church, we have to seek the Lord. Seek the oil. Seek Jesus. Have a heart for the things of God. Truly. And that's something only God can do. I mean, in the sense you have to want that, but He transforms you. You can't do it yourself. Serving Christ in that changed nature is an act of the Lord as you submit yourself to Him. Last of all, the door was shut and locked, and no allowance was given to reverse their lack of preparation. And they were even told, I don't know you. Saddest words a person will ever hear is for the Lord to say, I don't know you. You know, Jesus, I call these verses I'm going to read to you in just a second here the saddest verses in the Bible. If you want to know where the saddest verses in the Bible is at, they're found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 23. I think these three verses are the saddest verses in the Bible. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Lord, we did all these things. I was in church all the time. Lord, I helped with VBS 1 year. Lord, I was on the safety team. Lord, I taught Sunday school. Lord, I did this, I did this, I did this. But if it's not coming out of a true heart for the Lord, it can't be just works. It's got to be mixed with faith. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith won't get you to heaven either. The little subtitle in my Bible says true disciples. Does yours say that? Above 21, true disciples. True disciples will be wise and keep the oil of the Spirit flowing in their hearts. They won't be left outside the door, but will be inside enjoying God's blessing forever and ever and ever. In conclusion, musicians, would you come? How's your heart today? How's your oil supply today? You know, the oil that the Lord gives is free. It's not cheap. It cost Jesus his life, but it's free. All we have to do is ask and seek. All we have to do, in kind of put it in a different sense, all we have to do is drill. And the oil is there. We just have to keep the mindset, I'm going to keep drilling and seeking and believing for more of God's Spirit and Savior in my life. And when we have that attitude and that heart, we are very wise. But if we have the attitude, I'm just going to do enough to get by. I'm just going to get enough of Jesus to get by. Man, that's a dangerous place to walk. Because God sees the heart. I don't see your heart, just like I said, but the Lord does. He knows those that are just doing enough to get by. I don't ever want to hear the Lord say, Steve, you preached, you did good, you prophesied, you did all these things, but you were just doing it for you. I don't really know you. Apart from me. Man, I don't want to gamble with that. I want to be in love with Jesus and say, Lord, you know when I fail, you know, God, I'm not perfect. But I want to seek after you. I want you. I don't just want to be satisfied with just enough to get by. The foolish virgins, they had some oil. They had a lamp. They were expecting Jesus. They wanted to, or the bridegroom. They were there to see the bridegroom. You can't fault their actions. They weren't one of the ones that weren't chosen. They weren't people out that didn't even give a rip about the bridegroom. You see, I know there's a lot of lost people out here in our world. They don't give a rip about Jesus. But I also know there's people in the church that, yeah, they care about Jesus, but it's not really gotten a hold of their heart. And that's something that only you and God can work out. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, God, I need you. Forgive me where I fail, God. Lord, I want all the oil of your Spirit that I can possibly get. I want all of you, Lord. And I want you to have all of me. In fact, I want you to have so much of me that it's like I died. It's like I died to Steve. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be ready when that day comes and that trumpet sounds. And I know the signs are all around that you're coming. Is that your prayer today, Lord? I want to be ready. Lord, I want all of you. I don't want just enough to get by. I want everything, God. Oh, Jesus, touch us today, Lord. Touch us today, God. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be prepared. Help us to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's an old song that says, are you ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My question is that for us all today, are we ready should the Savior call today? I don't know when the Father is going to lean over and say, go get the bride. But I know it will happen. I know it will happen. And I don't want anybody left behind. I just want to invite you as the praise team comes, find a place to pray and say, God, fill me up. Lord, fill me with fresh oil today. Lord, I want all that there is, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. As they come, would you find a place to pray and call upon the Lord today?
Sing of the goodness of God.
known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so
breath that I am able.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I think we have to have the attitude that song says, your goodness is, what is it, running after me? What's that bridge say, Kelvin? Your goodness is running after me. Thank the Lord for God's goodness running after us. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But let me say this. I think for us to have the oil we've been talking about, we need to be running after the Lord as well. He's running after us, but we need to be running after him. Not just, oh, well, you know, I'm a Christian. It's heart. It's not what the actions, it's heart. Heart, if our heart's right, the actions will follow. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder today that we need to be running after you. Lord, we thank you that you chase after us surely in goodness. And Psalm 23 says, shall follow me, chase after me all the days of my life. And I thank you, Lord, for that. But Lord, our heart needs to be, we're running after you and chasing after you. We need to be God chasers in a sense. Seeking you and trying to maintain and add to our faith goodness and character and all those things that 2 Peter talked about. Because, Lord, we don't want to come down to the end of it all. After having done a lot of stuff, like I said, those scary words, Lord, in Matthew 7, I've always shuddered at the thought of those three verses. That after we've done a lot of good things, to hear you say you don't know us. Lord, that is so troubling that can be the case. And Lord, we don't want that to be the case. Lord, I want us to be a church and myself, a person that pants after you, as Psalm 42 once says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. That there's no record in people's hearts and questions in people's minds and in my own mind that I might not be ready. Lord, I want it to be clear to myself and to others, and most of all to you. God, when you send Jesus back to this earth to gather your bride, I don't want to be sitting here in a pile of tears saying, how am I going to make it the next 7 years? Lord, I want to go and parade through the atmosphere with my light shining brightly and enter into that door of heaven where the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place, and where there will be a wonderful host of people who have gone on before to say, Steve, Phil, Kelly, Joe, George, you made it. You're all here. Lord, help us to hear you say, welcome, well done, good job, you're here. Thank you, Lord. I want to hear you say that. I want to hear you say that, Lord. I want all my kids to be there. I want all my grandkids to be there. My brothers, my sisters, my parents, my friends, my church, fellow church people. I want them all to be there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that chases after us, gets us back on the right road when the forces of nature, the forces of our sin nature, try to pull us down and pull us back. Lord, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to say, no, No, get back on the road. Get back on the road. Don't fall for the devil's lies. Get back on the road. Lord, help us stay on the road. The road less traveled. But it'll make all the difference in the end. Lord, let us stay on the road. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands with me and say, thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, for your strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Just tell Jesus you love him right now. You're not ashamed of the Lord. Say, I love you, Jesus. Come on, out loud. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord, today. We love you, Lord, today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Would you stand with us today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. God bless you. Have a great day. Hallelujah.